tonight, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, responsively. Let's read together. I'll read verse 1, and then if you would, please join me on verse 2, and then every other verse down through verse 8 tonight, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Your witness and the power of God. Your witness and the power of God. Over the years, you have heard me speak about the need of every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because most of the time when I've preached about it over the years, it's been about daily power for living your Christian life, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you get up the next morning, the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the past 8 weeks, I have brought a series of messages on soul winning. That is, on your witness to the unsaved. In the hymn, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, George Askins penned the following words in the first stanza. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Mr. Askins was correct when he wrote, All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Very accurate statement. Song written many, many years ago. But it's also a truth that I personally believe and have observed. You don't ever hear preaching on this kind of the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. Usually maybe in the wrong type of a church that has their doctrine all turned around and all messed up and misapplied. But I'm talking about you and me, you and I, the need for the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this message, what I want to do is show you the main reason for the power of God. Oh, there are a number of reasons for it. Over the years, I've covered many of them. We've talked about the power for daily living, about what it means to live a Spirit-filled life and to walk with God day by day. But tonight I want to zero in on one thing. So don't go away and listen very, very carefully. First of all, there's a promise that was given by the prophet Joel. And if you have your Bibles there tonight, I'm going to ask you to go there. And if you can't find it right away, just stop turning in your Bible and listen to me read it, because you might miss what is said. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, where the prophet Joel wrote and said, And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. That was a promise that was made. Now remember, Joel didn't make that promise. God made that promise, and Joel wrote it down. Joel prophesies nearly 800 years before the birth of Christ. Think about that. Nearly 800 years. Take where we are right now on our calendar and subtract 800 years from it. That's a long time. And so This promise was made 800 years before Jesus showed up, and it talked of a day that God was going to pour out his Spirit, meaning he was going to give the power of the Holy Spirit to those people that he mentioned in this verse, the power of God. And that began to be fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, if you'll take your Bible and go there. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, "But this is that which was spoken..." I'm sorry about blowing into the mic. I told you this morning we're getting a new windscreen for this, and that stops this. A number of times we've had a in the preaching, and I apologize for that. But as of the next few days, we'll get a windscreen on there, and we won't have that annoying pop in the mic. And it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So there is the promise for the power that was given by the prophet Joel. Secondly, the promise of God's power is given in the Great Commission. The promise of God's power is given in the Great Commission. This very same promise spoken by Jesus in the four Gospels is found and talks about the power of God for witnessing and for bringing the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'm not going to read all these, but I am going to give you the references, and then I'm going to read one in its entirety in just a few moments. There are four great commissions given in the Bible, all given at different times. One is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Another one is Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. Another one is Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. And then John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And in each of these commissions, there is the same mention of the promise that is found in Joel. You see, that one in Joel was not just a one-time deal. All the Gospels mention something about it. When I think of that, there was coming a day when believers would be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit in order to bring the message of God, the gospel, and the saving grace of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It sounds to me like the Bible is right when it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." People say, why did Jesus come? There are a number of purposes given in the Bible. The number one reason was he came to save lost people. He didn't want anybody to go to hell. Not anybody. Nobody's predestined to go to hell. Nobody's predestined to go to heaven. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for all, not just a few special chosen ones. And so it was not a tarrying meeting, as we hear about in some churches in times past, where they would have an all-night prayer meeting and they would tarry for the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible speaks of. Let me read for you the promise that is found, if you would listen very carefully, please, in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53, it gives us great detail about this. And it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father." Wait a minute, what promise? Joel chapter 2. What promise? The one that's found in all the other great commissions. "And a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Stop. That's not a tarrying meeting. He said, you just go there and wait. There's coming a time. They weren't having a prayer meeting. They may have had a prayer meeting, but they weren't having a prayer meeting. They weren't going to a place to have supper. They weren't going to a restaurant or anything. He just said, you go there and wait. He didn't say go there and tarry and tarry and tarry and pray all night long and beg and beg and beg for the power of the Holy. He didn't say that. He said, you just go there and wait, because the promise is going to be upon you. And it says here, and Bible says, until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So there we find that the promise of God was given in the Great Commission. All four commissions that I gave you the references for, they all mention that business of the power of God for witnessing and getting people saved. Thirdly, notice this, the purpose of that filling was explained. God didn't give us a subject without giving us a meaning of it. And here we have that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 a moment ago. Brother Penn read with us Acts chapter 1 verses 1 through 8. Listen very carefully. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And look at that little word. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, I want you to look at your Bible. I want you to look there at the few words that are found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where the Bible says, "And ye shall receive power." That little word that God put there is different than the word that is put in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The word power that is used there is the word for authority. He said, "Because I have this authority, you can go do the work of God by my authority. You can use my name in Jesus' name." That's not the word that is used here. The word that is used here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and forgive me for using the Greek, it's the word dunamis, the dynamite, the very power of the Holy Spirit, the explosive power and power of the Holy Spirit. "But ye shall receive that explosive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, why was that important? Because Jesus was with the disciples for all of those years. They didn't need any of this. But when he left, the power of the Holy Spirit is what they needed. Because Jesus promised and said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you somebody just like me. And so while you have me, you don't need him. But when I go away, you will have him." That's what this is talking about. The Holy Spirit was to the disciples now everything that Jesus was to the disciples then. Let me turn it around. Everything that Jesus was to his disciples then is everything the Holy Spirit was going to be to his disciples after Jesus went back to heaven. He said, "I'm going to send you another comforter." Remember when we studied that? The word "another" was another of the same kind. There were two kinds of another in the Bible. One is another of a different sort, and the other one was another of the same sort. And Jesus said, "I'm going to send you somebody just like me." That was the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus was to his disciples, the Holy Spirit would be to the disciples when Jesus was gone back to heaven. And he said, when this happens, he said, when the Holy Spirit is there, he says, "Ye shall receive power, the dynamite of God. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, stop. This is not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to save people. One night, Brother Don, at your Bible study that we had over there, and I remember after I spoke a little bit about this, a man came up to me and he says, "Well, isn't the indwelling of the Holy Spirit the same thing as the filling of the Holy Spirit?" He said, "I've never heard this before." And I said, "Oh, no, sir." I said, "The filling of the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit takes control of you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what happens at the moment of salvation." And I was shocked and surprised that he had never heard that in his entire Christian experience. He's talking to his saved disciples now. He said, "There's coming a time when the power of God will fill you." And that's what you use to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. It is a further explanation of God's promise for power in the Great Commission. This endowment with power was what was promised by Joel back in the book of Joel chapter 2. And it was all about getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. It wasn't about rolling out of your seat onto the end of the aisle and having some kind of a holy roller conniption fit. It wasn't about having a tongue meeting. It wasn't about having any kind of these different things that so many churches have today. This was about getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. And he said, you're going to need the power of God to get the job done. And he promised that to them. And so let me read Joel 2:32 again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we're having here the promise that Joel gave through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is what my people need to get the gospel out. And they do need that. Now let me show you the promise fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The modern day charismatic movement, they leave out the rest of the story. And they have these tongue meetings where people go and they speak in tongues, they say, as the Spirit would give utterance. But is that what's happening today? No. The reason for this was to get people saved. I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. The Bible plainly states that what happened in Acts 2 verses 1 through 4, was the fulfillment of what Joel promised in Acts 2:16, when the Bible says, but this is that. What? This is what? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that filling endowment of power of the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of God's promise came to those 120 believers who went to Jerusalem and gathered in that upper room. The promise did not fall upon all believers at that time, but only upon those who were in the upper room. Okay? Got to take the Bible pretty literally here and see at face value. The 120 met in that upper room awaiting for the fulfillment of God's promise for the endowment of power. They weren't having a tarrying meeting. They were simply obeying, go there and wait on me, and then you'll see what's going to happen. They didn't pray all night, though some of them may have prayed all night. They did not have a prayer meeting, though they may have had a prayer meeting. I mean, they were all gathered together. They may have had biscuits and gravy. You just never know. They may have had breakfast while they were there. But what they were doing was they were simply doing what God had told them to do. And they, by the way, they did not have to ask God for it. He said, you go here and you wait and God will do it. That's interesting. They weren't on their faces saying, oh, God, send the promise of your power. Oh, God, send the power of the Holy Spirit. They weren't doing that. They were just there waiting on for God to do what he said he would do. There was a definite purpose for the filling and the endowment of power, and that purpose was to get people saved. How do we know that? Next point. The purpose of that filling was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Follow along. You have your Bible there. There's a lot of messed up doctrine today. And if the power of the Holy Spirit was given in order to get people saved, that's not what's happening in many of these churches today at all, not even close. The Bible says in Acts 2, beginning in verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Wow, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of places. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and all parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It wasn't a heavenly fluttering like what's falsely taught in our churches today. It wasn't a heavenly language that they misinterpret when the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. You'll never find an angel in the Bible speaking anything other than a known language that somebody understood. Look at your Bible. The word tongue here is the word glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A in English. It looks basically the same in Greek, and it means a known language. It doesn't mean the unknown tongue spoken of in the Bible means a tongue they did not know previously. But they spoke in a language that all of these people understood. I think that's interesting. What happened on the day of Pentecost? 120 men and women believers spoke in languages they had not previously learned, an unknown tongue. They didn't know it before, but God did this. And some say the miracle was in the speaking, while others say the miracle was in the hearing. My pastor growing up said the miracle was in the hearing. But I believe it was both, because the Bible says they spoke those languages and these men heard those languages. So it's twofold. These tongues or languages were given miraculously as a gift. Listen, don't miss this. In a time of great need. What was the great need? There were men and women there from 16 different countries, and they all spoke different languages. And one man can't stand, or one woman can't stand in front of an entire crowd and speak all the languages at once. So these 120 people, now filled and endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, and speaking in these languages, they went to the people on the streets, and 3,000 people got saved. Why? Because these disciples spoke in their language, and they heard the gospel in their language, you see, and they got saved. That was the purpose for the promise. The promise was given in order to get people saved. And on that day, that's exactly what happened. Today we hear about tongue meetings where people go and they speak in some kind of a so-called heavenly fluttering. And I just recently heard a woman preacher. She started speaking in tongues. Ah, bah, 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 bah. And I'm serious, that's what she sounded like. And said in her own doing, that was the filling of the Holy Spirit. I say hogwash. Because the purpose for tongues was to get unsaved people saved who could not understand the language of the Galileans. They had to understand in their own language. That's what God did. Can God let you speak in your language and someone hear it in theirs? Sure, anything like that can happen. God's never, he's not limited to do something like that. But here's the reason. The reason was to get people saved. Thus, the message tonight, your witness in the power of God. You need the power of God on your life to be a witness for God and get the gospel to a lost and dying world. And we find that throughout the New Testament. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, the Bible says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control you rather than you controlling yourself. You see how important that is? But I dare say that the average Christian, above average Christian, listening to my voice tonight online, and maybe even in this room, has not one time in the last 7 days asked God for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not one time wanted God to use them with the power of the Holy Spirit on their life. And see, that's what I mean. We're missing this in Christianity today. We're missing this today in our Christian life. And it's no wonder so many Christians today are dying on the vine because they know nothing of the power of God upon their lives. And that's one of the reasons they don't witness. What did it say in Acts 1:8? Brother Penn read it so well a little bit ago. But ye shall receive power. The dynamite of God, the dunamis of God, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That's the purpose. God made it clear. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. There is the gospel, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Why repentance? Because they believed in the wrong belief. They needed to change their belief. You don't get to heaven in Judaism. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus. Neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible tells us. Jesus says, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So therefore we have this. There's no other way to get saved except through the Lord Jesus. And if he's going to be introduced into people's lives, it needs to be introduced with the power of God. Again, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive dynamite. Ye shall receive dunamis. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. They were already believers, 120 believers in an upper room. They were already saved. They were already indwelt with the Holy Spirit. They were already born again people. They were already on their way to heaven. They had followed the Lord Jesus. Yes, they were saved. But they did not have that endowment of power yet. And Jesus said, I'm going away. I'll send somebody just like me, and he will be your power to witness. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea. And he goes on and names off all these countries. Now, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved, and they were from 16 different countries, and each and every one of them heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own tongue. They didn't understand Galilean. There might have been a Galilean in the crowd that was of that 3,000. They said, how come we can understand them in our language? These men are Galileans. We don't understand their language. But they understood the gospel. And clearly the reason for the power of God was the filling of the Holy Spirit was to get people saved. And this is even taught by the Apostle Paul. Now listen to this. It's interesting today because there are so many in these places that I believe pervert the teaching of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:22, you ought to mark it down in your Bible because there's a lot of people that will argue this, but you can't argue with the Bible. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. There it is. Tongues were given to get the unsaved saved. Tongues were not given so the saved people can run around the auditorium and have a hallelujah running fit and take their coats off and throw them and speak in some kind of a foreign dialect or some kind of gibberish. It says here, tongues, these languages, were given not for the saved, but for those who believe not. That settles it for me. But what prophesying serveth but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Talking about teaching and preaching the Bible. Why? Because the unsaved can't understand spiritual things. So that's for the saved. But tongues, that was to get people that were lost saved. Many, many years ago, I mentioned this as I was teaching through 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Oh, it was a long time ago. A man sitting right over here was a member of a very large charismatic church in Florida. I don't remember what the name of the place was. And I thought to myself, when he stood and introduced himself and told us what church he was from, I thought of all the nights to teach 1 Corinthians 14. Of all the nights. That man sat there and took page after page of notes. And here's what he said to our men on the way out the door. He said, your pastor is well-read, isn't he? And the men said, yes, he's well-read. He said, man, I got to go home and rethink some things. And he was right. Because Christianity today has been fed a lie. The reason the power of the Holy Spirit is available is because Jesus died for the whole world and gave his life as a ransom for all, the Bible says. In another place, a ransom for many. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And let him that is athirst drink, and that whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will is found in the Bible. But it's got to get out. And he says, I will help you. I will help you with the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that filling of the Holy Spirit is not just so you can have a good day. God knows we all need a good day every now and then, don't we? But it was given so you'll be a witness. Now, what are you going to do with it? I think that probably we understand here that we don't have to go alone. Says, oh, I don't want to witness and go by myself. You don't have to go by yourself. He'll go with you. Lo, I am with you unto the end of the world, he said in Matthew 28:20. I am with you always. Matthew, say, well, I'm not alone. No, he goes with you. And he will endue you with that power, if that's something you truly want, when you go witness. And trust me, the Bible is true. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the simplicity of this truth, even though it has been, I think, made hard to understand in today's modern Christianity. And like I said at the beginning of this message tonight, there's going to be a number of folks who are going to say, phooey, hogwash, that's not true. And I realize, not in this room, and I know in this place folks are going to agree, or at least think, and at least give it a good shot. But Lord, no matter what we think about it, the Bible says the reason for it was that a lost world might hear about Jesus. So Father, I pray that you'd help us. Our heads are bowed. I'm just going to ask one question, that's all. Who would say, Pastor, tonight I learned something, or something was made clear tonight that I did not know before? Is that you? Raise your hand up real high and put it right back down all around this room. Now, it's amazing how Christianity has muddied that doctrine, isn't it? They've made it so muddy you can't see clearly through it. But the Bible made it clear for all of us. And those you folks online tonight, same thing. I hope it cleared some things up for you. You can't argue with the Bible. Shall we stand?